Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Inspire Health Podcast, and thanks so much for joining us again. Today, as we are coming to our close in our series on the illusion of free choice, a return to mastering your own life, we came across the work of Jean Manning. And Jean is an internationally known author who's been tracking breakthrough energy inventions and related big picture issues for more than 30 years. Her university degree is in sociology, work experiences in news reporting and social work, and her passion is advocating for clean air, soil, and water, with a specialty in unpacking clean energy breakthroughs for non-experts. And her heart is in reverence for the sacred nature of all life. Jean's been a panel speaker at the International Women's Forum on Future Energy at Expo 2017 in Kazakhstan, and has been invited to speak at new energy conferences in Switzerland, Austria, Germany, and North America. And her books have been published in a dozen languages. We first came across her book called Angels Don't Play This Harp that she co-authored with Dr. Nick Begich. Is that correct? She's also written The Coming Energy Revolution, Granite Man and the Butterfly. She co-authored Suppressed Inventions and Other Discoveries and Breakthrough Power, How Quantum Leap New Energy Inventions Can Transform Our World with Joel Garbin. And her newest book that is coming out is called Hidden Energy.
It is out.
Is this one out? Yes, this one is out. Just came out, I think, in 2019. Yeah, fascinating book. And this one really dives into the concept of hidden energy that we are going to dive into in this episode. So, Jean, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
It's a real pleasure to have you here. And when we were going through your book and we found that you're not too far from us in Canada here, we thought that's actually really exciting. I grew up in the Okanagan, so I think that's really fascinating that you're out that way. Mm-hmm. We'll actually probably be able to even meet up at some point in person, which would be really fun. Mm-hmm. Now, I think we already went through almost a full episode just catching up with you before we just started to record here, but why don't we dive right into it? And first, maybe from your perspective, Jean, you started off in sociology. So how did you go from sociology and then get into such a deep dive in the concepts of energy and using different energy forms and hidden energy? Where did that come from?
I wondered often, you know, it's such a great leap from, but actually when I look back, it's all as it should be, because I'm a people person. That's why I studied sociology, and I was interested in how people act in groups and what's the big picture for humankind, and always interested in the big picture. I've never thought myself as a techie person, and I'm not, definitely not, but my mind seems to have a real interest in trying to understand the basic principles of emerging science. Like, every once in a while, something just rings the bell with my, inner understanding of, oh yes, this all just feels so right. This emerging science, not just about inventions that are better generators, but just the whole based on understanding of a life force that seems to have been kind of lost in the materialistic 20th century and early 21st century science worldview, increasingly, because that served corporate interests and served developing technologies, but the mechanistic understanding that says only matter matters, and if you can't measure it, it doesn't exist, just wasn't the whole picture. I just innately knew that, and so it's the big picture of an emerging science that could help create a better world, because it's not about tearing things up, breaking things down, and destroying like our energy technologies that we currently use. They're based on the motions that nature uses to get rid of what's waste product. Like burning. We burn fuels, or exploding atoms. Well, of course, the clean energy technologies are are based on tapping into to nature, you know, the tapping into sunlight or wind. But to date, they haven't been power dense enough to really make a dent in the worldwide consumption of energy. You know, that it's just very predominantly fossil fuels with, or, you know, any kind of burning with a segment of nuclear power, which is really horrible in terms of the life force. So I'm all on board with the clean energy alternatives, and it's just turned out that there's even more that we could have when the time is right, I guess.
Yeah, I definitely think from the emergence of, even when I think quantum physics and quantum mechanics started to surface a little bit more, it definitely kind of blew our boundaries on looking at things from just a pure Newtonian physical reality perspective. It was, to me, it was such a neat, exciting time when that started to surface, because it did bridge these worlds of kind of spirituality and metaphysics, and then with science and this concept of possibilities, right? And what could be possible. That part, I think, is really exciting. And I feel like at a certain level, you know, that resonates with a lot of people as an underlying truth somewhere, even if we can't completely comprehend it. So I feel like this is where we're kind of moving in a lot of ways, is how do we blend this stuff? And now we're trying to figure out, you know, how do we scientifically sort of validate certain things that maybe felt right, you know, in our heart, or that even different indigenous cultures knew about for a long time. And now we're kind of finding different ways to try to, I guess, maybe appease the intellect around that. But it's exciting times to see what we can create from it. When you wrote your book, Hidden Energy, tell us a little bit what you mean by hidden energy. Why that title?
Yeah, in the book, I put four reasons or four descriptions of it. But I also want to comment on what you were saying about quantum physics. Is that the late Thomas Bearden, a Tesla researcher, commented that the engineering students and professors don't cross the campus and talk to the physics department. The physics department doesn't go over to the engineering department and say, well, look, we're talking over here about something called zero-point energy, you know, zero-point quantum fluctuations of the vacuum of space. Why don't you over in the engineering department try to build something to make use of this, you know? And on the other hand, you know, the engineering department could expand its worldview beyond just the mechanistic too. Reminding myself what I wrote about our title, the hidden energy, refers to a universal energy that can be tapped as a clean, abundant, a source of clean, abundance power. And secondly, nature's ways of quietly working with that life force. And thirdly, little known technological breakthroughs that operate in harmony with nature. So the little known part is hidden. It's hidden in plain sight if you go look for it. And fourthly, the synergy of collaboration by innovators internationally and across generations. That's only hidden because it doesn't make the mainstream news. And last but not least, the divine creative spark in every person. And when you have hope, that encourages you to find some way, whatever is your path, to help create a better world. So that was the reasoning behind this title, Hidden Energy.
I love that. And when you said the divine creative spark, that actually reminds me of, I believe it was Maria Montessori that actually said that was the primary goal of the educator for children, was to help them find their divine spark. That sort of idea. And then I think, you know what it feels like when you find that divine spark. I mean, you just get flooded with inspiration and creativity, sort of abounds from that place.
That's what's been happening to inventors around the world that get inspired. And sometimes they get in dreams, they get an answer to some problem they're working on. Or if they're, you know, they paid their dues by really doing their part of study and experimentation and everything, and they come to a point where they have to go for a walk in nature and let go of it, and then answers flow in at that time when they've let go and just being.
Yeah, that's beautiful. It makes me think of our last episode that aired was one with RJ, and he spoke of the fact that we don't actually have any original thought within this realm, within this physical realm. Whereas if we open up our vessel and release the thinking, the incessant thinking, which is essentially tied to past thought, past actions, then we can open ourselves up to divine inspiration and insight and deep knowings from unraveling from within. And it just made me think of what you're speaking of is like, even with the innovators that are coming up with new ideas, it's interesting because it's almost as if oftentimes we've looked into certain inventions coming about, and there could be one taking place in Russia, and there could be the same exact invention coming up within North America at the same exact time. So it's almost like if we're able to open up our minds and our hearts and our bodies enough and let go of inhibitions, then we're opening ourselves up to divine inspiration coming in at the time that we need it. And it's like, it doesn't, if that person is not open, then it'll just come through another person that's needed in this particular continent. But it's really interesting.
It helps me when I'm writing a book or whatever, and I looking at what I've written and say, oh, that's not going to catch anybody's attention, that's boring the way I've written it, and maybe I'll go have a sleep on it or something. And often it's in the early morning when I'm working on a project and I'm lying in that half awake, half asleep state that the words flow in, and pretty soon I'm so full of them that I have to go to the computer and start typing.
Yeah, I think that's so true. It's like before you've had a chance for that thinking mind to really get revved up and start going. Prior to that, I think, is when we are sort of in that lucid phase of being able to connect to these. I mean, I think ultimately they're like different dimensions and really different information, very different wavelengths of information, I think that we become privy to at different times. So yeah, it's like when people try to meditate first thing in the morning when you're still kind of half asleep, half there, that's a really, you're already in that, probably that theta brainwave state where you can actually tap into it much more easily. Then once you kind of got going in the middle of your day and the stressors and all the different things get kicking in and you're kind of more in beta, you're really not sort of in alignment with tapping into that different kinds of information. Jean, when you explain that's the information around the hidden energy and just where the book came from and whatnot, from your perspective, why are these things not so, you know, in the forefront? Why are they not so accessible? I find like it, this is something that rolls over sometimes when I think about it with medicine. It's like I'll often hear, well, if that was really as good as people are saying, then my doctor would be telling me about it, or it would be out there in plain sight, right? And it's like, well, it doesn't always work like that. There's other reasons why things aren't always, you know, there in the forefront at this point in time. From all of your research, is it that a lot of these energies are just not ready to be in a place where they can be used? Or what's the reason why, from what you've seen, is that they're not kind of there so accessible that they could be, maybe?
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, there's a number of things going on. Technically, inventions are ready to be developed to commercialization point. I mean, proven in the prototype form, and it just takes a standard engineering team to make a commercial product. But, you know, one thing, they're never funded. But why it's not in the public consciousness, why it's not cocktail party conversation, if people still have cocktail parties, is, I think, for one thing, maybe the time isn't right for as far as really powerful, energy dense inventions that could be misused. But on the other hand, there are ways to make sure that you're just using something that's safe, that could not be weaponized. And the magnet-based inventions fall in that safer category in my mind. But as far as, again, the consciousness that so few people are aware, such a small minority in the world, I've been wrestling with that ever since I sat down to write The Coming Energy Revolution. And I got notes here from that. What I said in the beginning of that book, why haven't you heard about the push to develop radically different energy technologies? And I said that scrutiny of the field reveals a complex picture with dark areas of greed, corporate lobbying over many decades, international politics. You know, geopolitically, it would really change the world to have a replacement for oil. Bureaucratic inertia, you know, like, not on my watch. I don't want anything disruptive to happen when I'm safely comfortable in my job. Mm-hmm. And academic resistance for kind of some of the same reasons. And because it's been positioned as something to be ridiculed, you know, with phrases like, oh, that's just perpetual motion. You know, that's ridiculous, impossible perpetual motion, which isn't what the scientists in the new energy field are doing. And secrecy, not just the fact that inventions will be put under a national secrecy order if they are considered threat to national interest, which is defined as the health of the oil corporate world, you know, and on the level of individual consciousness, there's some paranoia on inventors' part where if they have heard the very true stories of suppression, and because they're people with strong imagination, but that their imagination can create a picture that tells them this is impossible. I'm just going to hide it away, or I'm going to stop working on this because I would be killed. And that has happened, where I've known inventors who make that decision. They just say this is just too dangerous. It happened, for example, in 2004. My dear friend Dr. Eugene Maliv, who's back east in the U.S. and he was murdered. He was so important to the new energy field at that time. He not only had very impeccable credentials, and he'd been the science writer or the PR person for MIT, to interpret what the scientists were doing. And that was at the time that what was called cold fusion hit the news, and he saw that they actually changed their figures on this study. You know, he saw an instance of fudging data at MIT, and so he quit that job and founded a magazine. And he was very articulate, so he was on coast-to-coast radio, and he had a feisty personality. He would not back down. Mm-hmm. He was all the things that we needed in a spokesperson. And so it was several years before the murder mystery was solved. And in the meantime, I heard, inventor after inventor saying, it's just too dangerous out there. But as it turned out, and people who say, well, it wasn't random violence, well, that's factually true. But it wasn't suppression either in that case. It just happened to be that he'd gotten into a scrap with some characters, some real low-life people who had trashed his parents' apartment while they were in hospital or something. And I knew how he didn't back down, even in the face of a 6-foot-something man that he was arguing scientifically with. He was like a carrier and just not letting go of it. So yeah, it was horrible. He was bludgeoned to death. But it wasn't, in that case, a suppression. But it set the field back because of the belief that it was. Okay, that was a pretty dark story. I'm sorry. I will get to the good news that's happening as we speak, where people are going forward and ready to bring something to market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't think this is new for us either, and probably for most of the friends that are listening in. We have been aware of water being used to run cars and many other inventions. We'll be speaking more about this actually within the series before it ends, but so many have either been suppressed, or the inventions have been bought out and then completely erased from the books, or yes, the inventors themselves have been mysteriously killed, or they've gone missing. I think what's interesting now, because you alluded to it, in that, perhaps even consciousness wasn't quite ready for it. But it seems that what we're coming into now in this current time in humanity's history is that all this stuff is starting to bubble to the surface for us to be able to see things very clearly as they are. And that's going to enable us to become inspired and motivated enough within our own awareness to now make different choices and no longer agree to certain things that have gone on that probably were not in the highest good, and then be able to step into the consciousness where these cleaner possibilities of reusable energy, renewable energy will now be what we are putting our votes on and putting our attention and focus on.
Well said. Yes, because even the standard renewals, there was quite a history of solar being slowed down. You know, I don't think anybody was killed over it, but I think there was even a book, Who Killed the, or Who Owns the Sun, or something like that, that covered some of those dark. And when I first got interested in energy technologies in general, I went to a conference in Penticton, British Columbia. What was it called? Well, anyway, it was the National Conference for the Solar Association, and I realized that they were farther ahead in what they could do than the public was being told. You know, we're being told that all solar will never, get anywhere or bring their costs down, but they were more advanced. And also, I knew Christopher Bird, who was a co-author of books like Secret Life of Plants and Secrets of the Soil. And he told me that he knew somebody who worked in a facility of where they made solar panels, and the lead scientist or something. And that man reported to Chris that he could graph the improvements in solar panels from their company on a real upward swing, just consistently better and better every year. And then after the company was bought out by a big oil company, I don't remember which one it was, but one of the major ones, then it just leveled out. Mm-hmm. And from the inside, he saw what happened was that when one of the researchers had a mediocre idea, it got funded. But when somebody had a potentially revolutionary idea for making things differently, it didn't get any help.
Jean, I have a question for you. When you're speaking of clean energy, and you had spoken of solar panels as well as the windmills, it made me think of your other book, Angels Don't Play This Harp. So with the weather manipulation that has been going on, would those technologies not be affected? Like even with the attempt to block out the sun, with the spraying that's been going on, or again, with the weather manipulation in general affecting the wind itself, can those not be open to manipulation as well?
Yes, the technologies to block the sun when some idiotic idea of reflecting sunlight back, I don't know to what percentage it would affect solar panels, but it's possible certainly to have some effect if they're trying to block the incoming sunlight, which is absolutely insane, but there's evidence that that's being done. As far as changing weather patterns by ionospheric heaters, that's possible to be done too. I'm not up on the latest on that. All I've read recently is that they're bragging about bouncing signals off of Mars off of Jupiter and the moon. Yeah, well, come on, guys. Let's do something helpful here. let's get down to Earth and do something that's going to be useful to people on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. Do you have, out of curiosity, do you have any knowledge of CERN and what has gone on with CERN recently?
I walked over the top of CERN. Oh. You know, it goes under across the border. My family lived in Ferney-Voltaire. And, you know, this farmland we hiked on was over the top of us. You know, it was 17 kilometers, I believe, the the toroid-shaped particle accelerator. And so that's a huge experiment. You know, that's Large Hadron Collider is the biggest in the world. And again, it's sucked up all the research money, and 10,000 scientists from around the world have been involved in working on it and got, you know, well-paid jobs. And we met one of them on one of our hikes, and I was asking him, I think it was around the time they were making a big announcement about the God particle. And I said, well, what's that all about? And he said it wasn't such a big deal. You know, the PR department made a big thing of it. But they've never, it's not about powering our world with something. It's, they haven't had even any amount of energy output over their experiments. It's just about experiments of smashing particles together at great pressures and velocities and heat. And I don't know what the dangers might be, but I have an engineer friend who's has certain specialties, and he said that any fusion reactors is a danger to the surrounding country if it was punctured. And sure, their containments are super strong, but you don't know what is going to happen on this Earth. It's just boys playing with big toys again, and I'm you know, they're excited. They think that they're learning what happened after the Big Bang. But other more dissident physicists are saying, yeah, the Big Bang story has holes in it too, you know. So I don't know what the future science is going to be saying about all that. But I think it's going to be a different story.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I liked in the book when you're kind of tying a lot of times the inventors that were really inspired, it tied back to nature. And I definitely appreciate it when I fundamentally kind of feel like nature kind of has all of the answers. We just need to be better listeners and pay attention to what's actually going on and sort of really use that as the base model for what we want to try and create or work with. From the inventors that you were investigating, what, from your perspective, were some of the most exciting and promising inventions that you saw people working on?
Okay, going back to the working in harmony with nature's ways part of it, I knew people that were working on the approach that an Austrian by the name of Victor Schauberger talked about, were working with the vortex movements that he saw in nature. He was started out as a forester and very observant of how these vortexian movements were formed in streams and water and rivers, natural rivers, and in the air and in the pristine ecosystems that he had in his charge. And so he went on to invent, for one thing, a generator that used both the inward spiraling and the centrifugal forces, centripetal, or how you pronounce it, and centrifugal forces. And he also invented other things like a plow that moved more in harmony with the electrical systems that were going on in the soil naturally. And so I have known people who pursued the Schauberger line of research, and it turns out to be a really difficult one. But as far as what I'm really excited about right now, it's the people who are doing what they call recycling electrons or regenerative technologies. I know one up in the interior who's regenerating batteries, and so that's a part of the system that he works with. And he's off grid, and he can't say he's powering his place by free energy because he has a solar and wind. Well, that's free energy. But he also has this electronic circuitry that involves the batteries in the regeneration part of it. And the end result is he's putting out a lot more power for his family's needs than would come just from the solar and wind alone. And so along that same line, there have been inventors down in, that used to meet at conferences down in northern Idaho, and maybe they started one in Spokane this year. It's called the Energy Science and Technology Conference every summer in July. And a lot of them are working along the lines because there was a brilliant man named John Bedini who taught how to do that sort of working with magnetic motors and regenerating batteries. And it was in the movement of the ions in the battery that it seemed that the power from the background energy came in. So what was going on when some engineer who was skeptical would come along and have some really good instruments for measuring, and they didn't find anywhere where there was more power coming out than out, but it was the whole, if you looked at the whole system, yes, there was. Now I'm gonna go from those experiments to something that's really ready for commercialization right now. And I just found out about in this year because they wisely did not announce what they were doing until this year. They did everything in the way that I see as wisdom. Like they waited till they had something actually running a facility. They have a 12,000 square foot big industrial facility in Florida that they're running their system in. So anybody can look up Holcomb Energy Systems, it's spelled HOLCOMB, Energy Systems. And they have, or Dr. Holcomb has three inventions, and one of them is a better way to make three-phase power, which is really helpful for industry. But the ones that are most exciting is, for one, they have a power generator that they say is standalone. Well, again, wisely, that's not what they're using in their facility, because maybe the world isn't quite ready to swallow that one. But what they are using is revolutionary. It's they call their inline power generator, and the bottom line is that they do take some power from the grid, but it multiplies that power. So at the very least, the world could be cutting in half their use of power from the grid, and that's huge, with the potential for a lot more. And I like so many things about the way they go about things, like their philosophy. They're really keen on bring this out to the villages, to the people of the world that need it. You know, they're not saying we've got to make a lot of money by going big and switching over what the utility companies are doing, and that would really go head on against vested interests if you going to mess with the utility companies. And they're looking at, because they care about people, they're looking at Africa, but also because that's an opportunity to not have to go up head on against utility companies. Because in rural areas in Africa, there isn't a grid. they don't have an ugly spider web of power lines over their landscape. And so that would be where they would have to use their self-running or self-powered generator. And so, again, wisely, they're not saying, you know, they're not putting their hand out and saying, buy shares in our company, or they're saying, please spread the word and help us connect with partners. They want to partner with already established industry manufacturers and people who can help take it to the step of manufacturing and distribution. And they recently signed just a week or so ago, 2 weeks ago, a contract with a company in San Diego, Astra, that can do just that. And of course, they're looking for more. Just let's get this going as in many places as possible. So yeah, I'm really high on that one. I think, like you said, the time will come. Mm-hmm. You know, when the time is right.
That's what I was just gonna say. What has to be set in motion so that companies don't have to worry so much about if they're going to cause friction with the more powerful companies that are basically controlling industry in a lot of ways. Sort of how is that going to change? And I guess part of it is you go where you can, where you're not in direct competition, like you said, some of these countries where there's not such a
monopoly.
This monopoly of energy in a certain way. So it's like you can do it there. And then I guess it's just
funding is a big part of it too. It's how do you even survive amidst the competition of these big companies that are monopolizing the field? And I'd be interested to know what you're finding, but briefly I will mention, we feel like it's going to be a grassroots sort of movement, because even for us, like, we personally wanted to support certain companies that are doing really great work. So we ended up selling our house last year and investing a lump sum within those companies that we have kids, we have three kids, and we want our kids to grow up in a world that's conducive to their health and well-being and goodness. And so we're investing in that. We're wanting to have, you know, a skin in the game, if you will, of that world coming about. But what are you finding? How do companies, even the Holcomb Energy Systems that you're speaking of, how are they making do with funding if they're not reaching out specifically to groups and asking for assistance?
I don't know the answer to that. You know, it could be that somebody had an inheritance or who knows what. I was supposed to have a Zoom with them last week, and then Dr. Holcomb wasn't feeling well, but they said they will reschedule. hope I can find that out. So they were able to get farther than many other good inventions could. One more negative example of what's happened recently is Infinity Salve, nothing negative about the invention, magnetically propelled generator. The inventor was from Russia, and he actually from the Ukraine. He wasn't getting the kind of support he needed there. You know, oil figures in there probably too. So some people in South Korea offered to help out and fund him to build a lab there, and he went there and they did set up a lab, and he did advance his invention there, which involved magnets and a pulse motor pulsed with very advanced design and push pull of magnets involved. I didn't meet them, but I do know have a friend who went there because he was trying to raise money. My friend was for them, and my friend saw a demonstration. He talked about the advanced version that ran on that went out on some island just to show this wasn't connected to the power lines, and did a demonstration for 5 hours. And then I just know bits of the story, but my friend did see something that involved an electric vehicle. I don't know if he saw one running, or if he saw that the engine worked in the lab or what. And then he's 2 weeks after that demonstration, my friend was back in Washington State and got a phone call saying that the lab had burned down with the inventor in it. That set things back there. My friend still hopes to be able to raise money to bring the CEO of that company up to USA, because he was such a partner with the inventor that he probably understands how it was built. But it just certainly took the wind out of them. Why did I bring in that negative example?
I think it's just it's part of, I think, looking into all of this stuff. You know, you've got real beneficial stuff, and then like everything. I mean, I hear the same stories that I've heard in medicine for a long time. You know, you get people that come up with really innovative ideas, and it's a whole myriad of stuff. Either they can't practice the way they want to practice because it's not governed. You're not allowed to do certain things or experiment with certain things. So they usually don't stay in North America. They have to go somewhere else, where maybe they have a little bit more flexibility with what they can experiment with. And yeah, sometimes these people end up just disappearing or whatever.
It's just even showing up so clearly now, even within censorship. Like, what is censorship? Why are you censoring information and opinions and insights? So that's definitely happening everywhere right now.
So whether it's coming from intentional or accidental or whatever, it's a tricky thing to know all of the pieces of, but like you said, it sets things back somewhat. Back to your book on hidden energy, what did you find around water? I'm always really fascinated about the research that's coming up specifically with water and the relationships around water. And when we did this series on energy, frequency, vibration, magnetics, the next era of healthcare, water did come up a couple different times, even around the idea of sort of water clusters potentially housing specific frequencies and frequencies being literally information. And I remember watching a video by someone named Ralph Sudeth, I think, and he was creating a water purifier that all talked about with vortexing. I don't know all the details on it, but it was basically vortexing with specific geometry tied in there. And I mean, he was showing some pretty amazing results, but he found, I remember talking to a friend of his that knew him very well, and he just kept running into roadblock after roadblock because for him, from his perspective, or well, I shouldn't say his perspective, but what happened was he would be trying to get it into the system, but because the contracts were so connected that clean water had to have a certain amount of chlorine in the water, that was always the rate limiting step. It was like you couldn't actually bring it to manufacture because you have to have a certain amount of chlorine in the water to make sure that it is actually clean, even though this machine completely cleaned the water and purified it in its own right. So
without
any chemicals, but he, you know, from that point of what he could do versus what he could then get in was very difficult. But I find like a lot of the research coming up around water is really fascinating. What have you come across and what's the potential around it?
That's one of my big interests. I've even gone to conferences that were exclusively water, you know, down in, or about water, I mean, down in Dallas and even one in Washington State. And it's obvious that the future science will see water I use the term magical because magic is what we don't know yet, but it's there's so much more going on with water. It's not just, you know, hydrogen and oxygen. Dr. Gerald Pollack from University of Washington is one of the speakers we've had at our conferences. But for a really working demonstration, Walt Jenkins down in Florida, coincidentally, has been running engines on water. He's demonstrated in a dune buggy and also in generators that were on the workbench, and have been vetted by people that I know that know how to measure stuff, and he really does have a working technology. But it's not electrolysis, because that wouldn't end up with more power out than anything goes in. But rather, the theory is that, and it wasn't Walt Jenkins that came up with this theory, but he says this might be it, is that there's these microscopic ball lightning events that happen in the water in the engine, just because of the way he creates what's going on in the engine. And there's a man down in Utah, Maury King, a systems engineer who's written books. Well, he started off going through the peer-reviewed literature to find instances of research that showed that zero-point energy could actually be tapped for useful work. And there's a lot actually that he cites in the standard physics literature. But anyway, he went from theory to theory and invention to invention. And when he saw what Walt Jenkins was doing, then he said, I think I know what's going on in there. And he tied it together with a lot of other things he'd learned. And so Maury King is the one who came up with that theory about the thunder engine, or microscopic lightning happening in there.
This comes to the end of our time for this episode. Please go to inspirehealthpodcast.com and listen to the remainder of this important episode. Thank you so much.